All right. Hey, I think that song is it's good. Oh, nice. We got the lasers up. Nice. I love it. I think that song is really cool as we get to come and hear from Luke, from the Gospel of Luke. Because what we're doing, we're reading about Jesus and reading about our friend and Savior. And we have the opportunity now, as we listen, as we think, as we pray, to encounter God and to come to the altar and lay our lives down and say, Jesus, I wanna follow you. I wanna know you. So let's just think about that as you get to listen today, as we talk in small groups too. Think about that, coming to the altar of God, coming to and laying your life at God's feet and saying, here I am, I wanna follow you. We're going to be in Luke 5, verses 12 through 16. Luke 5, verses 12 through 16. We're looking at different miracles. First, we looked at cleansing souls. Now, this is our first week and looking at a miracle where Jesus actually heals bodies, okay? So in this miracle today, we're going to see Jesus encounter this man, kind of said it before, and he's actually going to heal him. Not going to necessarily cleanse a demon out of him like we've been reading about, but he's going to heal his body in a very miraculous and amazing way. And even heal more than his body physically, but actually heal and cleanse his soul as well. So I guess they all kind of run into each other. Jesus does some miracles to actually heal them, to heal their bodies. Today we have this desperate man who has this disease called leprosy. Okay, leprosy is a disease and it affects your skin. You probably get sores. In all different places, probably on the bottom of your feet. It's not comfortable. It's terrible, but it also affects your nerves too. So you might like lose feeling and touch, and your skin probably looks different, and you probably don't look the best, or like maybe a person that everyone might want to approach. Actually, if you had leprosy back in this day, in Jesus' day, they actually cast you out to go live with the lepers. You weren't allowed to live in the with the healthy, regular people. You had to go live by yourself. And you were considered unclean. So people wanted to stay away from you. So this guy had leprosy, and it was probably physically uncomfortable, but also he was probably an outcast and he was lonely. And what happens is he sees Jesus and he actually approaches Jesus, and he knows that Jesus has the power to help him. He knows that Jesus has been cleansing souls and healing bodies and doing these miracles. He knows that Jesus can help him. But I think he actually wonders, he knows Jesus can help him, but he wonders if Jesus actually wants to help him, if Jesus actually cares about him. And he actually asks Jesus this amazing question. So I'm going to read Luke 5, 12 through 16, and try to listen for the question that this leper asks Jesus, and then the way that Jesus responds. While Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And Jesus charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about Jesus went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he withdrew to desolate places and pray. Let me pray. God, would you still our hearts right now? God, maybe there are many of us here that want to believe that you are powerful enough to heal us, to make us whole, to make this world whole, because we feel broken, because we are broken, because we see the brokenness in this world. And we know that you have the power to do it, but it's so easy for us to doubt if you actually desire to draw near to us and to say, I will be clean. Would you help us to know tonight that you care about us deeply and that you move toward us and that your desire for us is to be made whole. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. When I was in high school, I tried to organize this this kind of outreach event. And I was like, okay, we're going to have an inflatable obstacle course, and we're going to have cotton candy and food and friends and giveaways. It's going to be like this awesome time. And I went to school. I gave it a cool name. I even made, so it was called 658 because that's our address, 658 Millbrook Avenue. Thought it was a really cool name. Thought it was cool, catchy. Anyone else think it's cool? Thank you, Miles. Yes. And I even made videos. I even made promo videos for it where I put like a wig on and I was like, come to 658. It's going to be a great time. And I was like, okay, maybe we can get 50 kids there. It'll be really cool. I go to my school. I printed out like 200 flyers. And I was handing these flyers out like left and right in my school. I remember like I was in the hall like going to the bathroom and I'd like put flyers in my pocket. And I remember one time I walked up to this like one freshman who I like barely knew. And I was like, hey, I've seen you around. You should come to this outreach event we got going on. And he seemed like he didn't want me to approach him. And like he was having none of it. But he was nice, but maybe just shy. Anyways, I was pouring my heart and soul into this. And I thought it was going to be the coolest thing. And I invited all my friends and people I didn't know. And the day comes and time's rolling around. And no one is really trickling in. There may be like 2-3 people. And then by the time it starts, maybe there was like 4 or 5 people. And then an hour in, you know, there's like 10 people there. And I'm like, you know what, this is probably it. There's probably going to be like 10 people here. And 5 of them were like people who I already knew and who like had to be here basically, you know. So I handed like probably almost 200 flyers out and 10 people showed up. And I remember feeling like really down, really sad because I poured my heart and my soul in this thing I really cared about. And I wanted it to be amazing. And no one showed up. And I was like, no one really cares about this thing that I really care about. I felt like no one cared. And it really stunk. It really stunk bad, right? It kind of really stinks. It really hurts when we feel like no one cares about us, about the things that we enjoy, about the things that we pour our lives into, the things that we love, the things that we don't like, our dreams, our pain. It really, really stinks when we feel like no one cares about us and the things that we care about. It really, really stinks. And you know, I think not only is it easy for us to see those around us and feel like no one cares about us or the things that we care about, but I think it's also easy for us to doubt that Jesus actually cares about us, that Jesus deeply cares about us. We believe in our heads, we know the right answers. We know that God is all powerful and sovereign and that he has all the power to do all these amazing things, to bring healing to our lives, to actually bring joy to our lives. But I think it's easy to doubt that God cares enough to actually do these things, to bring wholeness into our lives and into the world. But what we need to know tonight, and I hope that we can just know a little bit more and have a little less doubt about even, is that Jesus really does truly care about each and every one of us. Each and every one of you, Jesus deeply cares about. And I think we see this in this passage, okay? How do we see this here? And this miracle of healing. There's a miracle of healing. How do we see this? That Jesus cares about you. It's in these few words that Jesus and the leper exchange. Okay, this leper comes up to Jesus, and in verse 2, what does he say? What does Jesus say to this leper? Or what does the leper say to Jesus? Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. This leper is confident that Jesus can help him. He says, "You can make me clean," but He has some sense of doubt to him. He says, "Jesus, I know you can do it, but there's an if. If you will, if you care about me, if you care about me, I know that you can. But do you care about me enough to actually make me clean, to restore this guy, not just heal him of his leprosy and of his disease, but actually restore him to community too? Because if Jesus was to make this guy clean, it would actually change his life more than just making him healthy again. It would actually restore him to community. He'd be able to go back and live with people, with his family and friends again. But this guy doubts that Jesus cares about him enough to actually do it, to exercise his power. This leper's like, "I know you can, Jesus, but do you care enough? Is it your desire? Do you care about me?" And then Jesus's response is to truly communicate to this man that he does care about him, right? What does Jesus say? Jesus says this in verse 3. Well, before he says anything, what Jesus does, he does something pretty remarkable. He reaches out and he touches this man, this leper. And something that's really crazy about that maybe we miss is that this man had leprosy and he was actually unclean. So back in the biblical times, if someone was to touch something or someone that was unclean, that would make them unclean too. They would have to, they would be counted as unclean too. And what does Jesus do? He actually reaches out and he embraces this man. He touches him, taking on his uncleanness, saying, "You know what? I'm gonna risk it." I bet there were people around that were like, I bet there was like a gasp. I wonder if there was a gasp. Jesus reaches out and touches him, and Jesus says this, "I will be clean." I think more than just healing this man, Jesus is communicating to this man, and even to us today, that he does care about us, that he sees us, that it's his desire to make us clean, to restore us, to make us whole, to forgive us. Jesus does care about this guy, and he dives right into the mess of this guy's life, right? Jesus isn't just like, I care about you, but I'll heal you from over here. Like, stay 20 feet away and I'll heal you. But Jesus dives right into the mess. He gets right up close to this guy and he's like, I will be clean. Right there. Dives right into the mess of this guy's life. He risks it and he says, I care about you. And this would make Jesus probably seen as unclean. It would probably risk his reputation. Like I said, there were probably people around that were like, what is Jesus doing? Doesn't he know he's going to be unclean? Kind of tilting their heads, being like, this is wrong, Jesus. But Jesus doesn't care. He sees this man and he embraces him right in the mess of his life. And he says, I care. I care about you. I see you. I care about you. And you know, this, as I read the story, it's really amazing because I think it does communicate to us that Jesus cares about us, that Jesus loves us. But there's something kind of different as I read the story that kind of leaves me a little bit uneasy or unsettled, right? This man encounters Jesus, and he's actually healed by Jesus miraculously, right? This leprosy, this thing that drove this man away from community, that made him lonely, that made him hurt, that made him in pain, that thing was actually healed. Jesus said, I care about you, and so I'm going to heal you. And you know, I can't help but think, like, it must have been easy for this guy to believe that Jesus actually cares about him because he actually saw that Jesus healed him. Right? Because things actually changed in his life. And it's hard for me to think about because I don't always see, I want to believe that Jesus has all the power to make things right, to make all that is wrong right, but I don't always see in my life and in the world that everything wrong is made right. And so it's kind of like this weird thing where I'm like, this guy got to see it. This guy got to see his life restored and healed, but we don't always get to see that. And it's a really, I think it's a fair, but it's a tough point to wrestle with as we go about our lives. We don't often get to see Jesus healing miraculously like this in our lives, making everything that is wrong right in an instant. So it makes us ask a good question. How do we really believe that Jesus cares about us, even though not everything in our lives are made right just like that? And there's a bunch of different ways that people have tried to answer this question, and we're actually going to talk. This will be one of our small group questions that we'll get to dive into in a few minutes. But I have one thing to offer. Okay, this is what I have to offer. I believe that Jesus is doing everything possible to make things right. Jesus is working in every way to make things right, doing everything that he can to make things right. And I don't know why so many things are still wrong, why I look around at the world and I look around at my life and I don't even see the change in my life. I still have so much sin and pride that I want gone, and I don't see it just like this in an instant. There's pain in my life and in the world that I just want fixed, and I don't know why it's not just made right like this, even though I believe that Jesus has all the power to do it. But I do believe that Jesus is doing everything he can to make things right. I know that Jesus' desire is to make me whole, to make us whole, to make this world whole and restored, and that he's doing everything he can do to bring about wholeness in our lives and in the world. And if I believe that Jesus is doing everything he can to restore our lives, to bring forgiveness and redemption and restoration and wholeness into our lives and in the world, I can know that Jesus does truly care about us, that he does care about me, that he cares about you. And so let me just leave you with this. Jesus... Just like Jesus approaches this messy man with leprosy, this unclean man, and reaches out and touches him and embraces him in the midst of his mess, Jesus does the same thing with us. He comes to us in the midst of our mess. He doesn't say, you know what, your life is a little bit too messy. You can just keep going down that path. I'll focus on someone that's a little bit easier and not as messy. But Jesus actually embraces us, embraces you in a world that is so messy and unclean and broken. Jesus doesn't back away, but he moves toward each of you. He moves towards all of us and embraces you. And that's kind of risky business to hang out with such broken people. But Jesus does it, embraces you in the midst of your doubting and your questions and your mess and your sin, because Jesus cares about you. He moves towards you right now, right where you are, because he cares about you. Let me pray. God, we thank you that you move towards us in the midst of our messy lives. In the midst of our uncleanness, you reach out and embrace us and touch us and say to us, I care about you deeply. You're not worried about becoming unclean, but actually everything you touch and move towards and embrace, it becomes clean. And so we ask that we would see fruit of this in our lives, and that you'd also help us to trust you and trust that you care about us in the midst of our messy and broken lives and sinful lives and messy and broken and sinful world. God, would we know that you deeply care about us and you move toward us and you desire, your desire is that everything would be made whole, and you're working in all ways to make that a reality. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.